of those great stories. We want to be sure not to take it so seriously that we miss the rich and wonderful humor in it. Last year, members of a synagogue from Des Moines, Iowa, joined a number of Lutherans in one of Iowa's towns to observe the Seder Supper during Holy Week. And some of the people from the synagogue, the Jewish people of God, told the Lutherans, "You take parts of the Bible way too seriously." And we do. We take the Scriptures very seriously because they have the words of life. They have God's law and the prophets and the gospel and the good news. But within the stories of the Old Testament, we miss out on a lot if we don't see the irony and some of the humor in those stories. Out of that humor, I believe, comes our healing as the people of God this morning. It's ironic and somewhat humorous, isn't it, that the real power players in the first reading for today are not Naaman, the great commander, who in our culture today would probably be like a Super Bowl quarterback with his big gold ring full of diamonds. Naaman is a champion of his people. He knows how to win in battle, how to bring men, soldiers around him, and to win wars. Unfortunately, some of those battles are sacking the towns of Samaria, where God's people live. And perhaps it is Naaman's army that is robbing the people of Israel of a gift that he's going to offer in return a little later in the story. It's also ironic that Naaman, this hero of valor in battle, also has this dreaded skin disease, leprosy, and is powerless against it. So a little servant girl in the house of this commander Naaman is ironically the one who has the understanding how he can be healed. He said, "Oh, but if he would just know the prophet in Samaria, he would heal him of his dreaded disease." A little girl carries the power of God's healing with her words. Those words travel from Naaman's household to the king of Aram. And when the king hears about this prophet in Samaria, he loads up wagon loads of gold and silver, would be worth millions of dollars in today's money, and 10 expensive sets of clothing, and sends these gifts to the king of Israel, along with a letter saying, "Heal my commander Naaman." Now, the king of Israel, you know, with the political things going on in Washington this week, I'm just marveling at this. You know, this brinkmanship and how leaders like to foist their power on their office so that they might get reelected and hold their power. And this king of Israel tears his robes, and that means the ultimate of rage or grief. And he says, "Who am I that he sends this man for me to heal him?" And yet again, a servant knows of the power of Elisha and tells Elisha the story. And Elisha goes to the king and says, "Send this man so that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So here comes Naaman on his high horse, probably on his stallion, with his chariots, and he stops outside Elisha's house, expecting that Elisha is going to come out and almost pay him homage, you know, as this great commander, and that he's going to wave his hand in this great show of strength and heal him. But what does Elisha do? Another point of humor in the story. He sends a messenger, probably a servant, a slave, out to tell this great commander on his horse, "Get down and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and you will be made whole." Now, the Jordan is pretty muddy. It's not a pretty river. It kind of flows in torrents in many places. And Naaman says, "What? Couldn't I have washed in Abana or Pharpar or my beautiful, clear, crystal blue rivers back in my homeland and be clean? Why should I go down into this?" And hoof, he goes off on his horse, his high and mighty horse, back to his land. But his servants, again, irony, humor. It's his servants who are thinking clearly. And they say, "But our father, if the prophet would have asked you to do something difficult and be healed, would you not have done it? Why not just get down and wash in the river and be clean?" And here's the high point of this story of Naaman. Naaman gets off his high horse and gets down in that muddy water rinses himself off 7 times, and lo and behold, he comes up, restored, his skin like a boy's. No wrinkles, no brown spots. This is a new guy. That's the first healing, the healing in his body. But the second healing is deeper and much fuller. The second healing for Naaman is in his heart, because Naaman realizes that Elisha represents the only God, the God of Israel, the God of miracles and wonders, the God of redemption. And Naaman worships Israel's God. Not only does Naaman worship Israel's God, but he says, if I can't stay and worship your God in this land, if I must go home, can I at least take a wagon load of your soil, your dirt, your ground, so that I may worship your God on your soil in my land? That's what we call a conversion. He's been 180 degrees turned around. Naaman has been healed twice, once in his body, once in his heart. In the gospel for this morning, 10 lepers stand at a distance from Jesus, and well they should, because by their society's traditions, they were unclean, and anyone who came into contact with them might also contract their disease. And they call out to Jesus from far away, "Have mercy on us." And Jesus says to them, not, "I heal you," but he says, "Go and show yourself to the priest," to the priests. And he knows that they must do that in order to be fully restored, that they will be restored in body, but they must also be restored to their society, to their temple. They must again offer worship and offer sacrifices to be cleansed. But on their way back, another ironic point, another point of humor, of which Luke is also capable. Who is it who turns back? Those of Israel who have followed the covenants, who are circumcised, who are kosher, who keep all the festivals? No, it's the Samaritan. And there's a whole sentence for that in the gospel today. And he was a Samaritan, just so we get it. He's the half-blood. He's the one who's not kosher. He's the one who probably has some pagan religion mixed in with the religion of Israel that he practices. He would be the least worthy of healing. Yet he, ironically, is the one who turns back and who bows before Jesus and gives him praise for his healing. And Jesus, in a semi-humorous way, I think, says, is no one else returning except this foreigner? And many of us believe that this is a way for the writers of Luke's gospel to tell us the irony that it is often the people who are on the fringes, who are the least likely, the least powerful, who offer the best praise to God. And Jesus says, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. This leper has not just been cleansed once in body, but he too has been cleansed in a second way, in faith. And his faith will make him well from that day forward. Well, how about you and me? We too are healed. Not once, not even twice, but many times. You and I are healed every day. We were healed when over 2,000 years ago, Jesus, the Son of God, stretched his arms on the cross and gave his life for the sins of the whole world, including you and me. We were healed again when Jesus instituted the sacrament of Holy Communion, and on that night of the Seder, with his 12 closest friends, he took the bread and said, "This is my body given for you," and the wine, and he said, "This is my blood of the covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." And in baptism, with water and the Spirit, you and I have been healed. We've been washed not only physically, but we've been washed through and through. A washing of regeneration and renewal through the Holy Spirit, as Titus says in Titus 3. We have been healed by Jesus on the cross, by the holy sacraments of the Lord's Supper and of baptism. We have been healed physically when doctors and nurses and technicians and support staff have carried us through diagnosis and surgery and recovery. We have been healed as we have come to this place to confess our sins and to hear the promise of Christ's forgiveness. Some of the sins that we have brought this morning have been heavy. Some of the burdens that we have borne. Some of the darkness in our lives has been heavy. Some of it has not been. But Jesus heals it all. When the pastor on his behalf proclaims to you that you are forgiven in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And healed again, we walk out of these doors to bring that healing into the world. This morning, hear the Word of God. Sing the songs of praise. Join in the prayers for those who need healing. And as you leave this place, as we leave this place, I with you today, let us rise up and go, for our faith has made us well. Amen.